Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Conversations with Good Brothers talk show. My name is Sean Francis Coleman, and this is Darnell Ramsey. How y'all doing out there?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Glad to be back with another show.
Yes,
yes sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
How was your week, Black Man?
My week was this was actually a challenging week, but I overcame it. I think John 16:33, I believe, is ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer.
Okay, so I don't know if that's correct, but it sounds good enough. I wasn't ready. You be killing me. I wasn't ready for that, bro. I got no comeback on
Hold
that.
Hold on, man. Hold on, man. This is over, man.
You got me off guard. I wasn't off the scriptures.
Yeah. Let me get my snorkel.
But if I get some melatonin for Christ out there, bro, I'm hoping that scripture's right, bro. Yeah, we used to call these guys called melatonin for Christ. He was very, some young mentors in Christ, man. Good people, but, no, on a serious note, how do, because, you know, we always talk about, you know, different issues on this show, man, but how do a good brother get through the issues that he's faced with? And I know that we're going to get into the topic, but that's a good lead-in, you know, for, you know, men and sisters out there listening to us. So what do a good brother do, what brothers do, because in the media, they should have been angry, always pulling out guns and shooting people,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So now, give our listeners a different perspective on how a good brother deals with issues.
Oh, man, so many ways. I think that a good brother has to first, you know, if you haven't been doing it in a healthy way, I think you got to take a step back. They call it the balcony effect.
Okay.
Take a step back and look at the situation and really try to recognize, like, if matter of fact, one of my clients that I had this week, he said that one of his friends had passed away, and his friend was just so crazy. Like, he was impulsive. He would just do anything off of his impulse. And he said, looking at him, I realized that the choices he makes off his impulses really ain't healthy.
Okay.
You know, so one of the ways to really recognize how do people in your circle handle their problems, mm. and you think that they are getting healthy outcomes based off of the choices that they're making. Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's one way.
Okay.
You know. And be courageous, you know. If it ain't, again, you know, you talk about good brothers, you know, whether you're Black, whether you're whatever, I think sometimes, depending on your culture, you are deemed to handle your problems a certain way. You got to be courageous to say to yourself, you know what, I'm not going to handle myself that way. Yeah.
And I can mention one of the things that I always say, that, for one, just know that you are going to have problems.
Right.
I mean, that's a given. Ain't nobody living on this earth that don't face problems on a regular basis. So keep that in mind. But, you know, one of the things that helped me in my later years, because I was a hothead or whatever, and made impulsive decisions, just to sit still for 24 hours.
Okay.
And whatever, something that, you know, in anything, whether it's career, whether it's personal, whatever, you know, it's best to, you know, don't react. And we're going to talk about that in the show, because we have some impulses. We have reactors out there, you know, one of our topics that we're going to cover today. That's one of the things I've learned, like, you know, sit still for 24 hours, let it marinate. You know, I've never been the type of person to argue with people. You know, I like arguing over sports. But if I have something in which I need to deal with somebody, you know, I try not to be impulsive and make an impulsive decision, because, you know what, that person might not get over that.
Right.
You know, even though you may say sorry, but sometimes sorry doesn't resolve the situation. So, you know, when a good person, period, not a good brother, but a good person, you know, when you're dealing with problems, it's best to really, marinate and sit on the problem, so you can, you know, think of it critically and find out how to get out of it. Sometimes if we react impulsively, we might make that problem bigger than what it is.
And then that becomes your way of life.
And we see that in certain places with certain people.
How was your week, man?
Oh, my week was good, man. One of my weeks were incredible. I haven't had an incredible week. Finally got my website up, man. My website with all my services is something I've been working on for, you know, a couple weeks, man, I've been working on. So yesterday I finally put the staff on my website.
Looks nice, man.
Appreciate that. Got some cheesy business cards. I'm waiting for my business cards to come back, but that was a load off my plate, man. It was huge. And what I told you before we were talking about on the show, because I know we always talk about my book is soon to come out. However, you know, the more important thing, the more pressing thing is getting my website, getting my services out there. You know, this is a way that I plan on eating. And I know, you know, God has put this in me to put these workshops and these services out to the public. So I'm looking forward to, you know, telling you all website at the end of the show. Hopefully you all, you know, listeners and, you know, may know some people. So, and I go through my contacts as well to, you know, have an idea of some of the things I want to, how I want to impact the community and how I want to start to build my legacy, you know, as God, you know, takes me on his journey through life. So, you know, we put a lot of work in thanks to all the insight from you all, as well as, you know, Mom, the travels that life has brought my way to actually have me think about these workshops and what I think that the world needs. So to sum it up, man, I finished the website, man. That was huge, man. That was a big load off my plate now. So off to the book and getting the book out there next. So I've been learning how to do one thing at a time, man. Multitasking, I think that's overrated. Do one thing, knock that out, move off to the next. So I've been learning not to multitask in my latter years.
Well, that's a great leeway into segue into the topic if you talk about multitasking and going through one by one. But now I always laugh at Brother Darnell and our title for this week is technology and the impact it has on our life. And we'll take a look at the pros and cons. And I got to laugh when I see Brother Darnell typing with two fingers. You know, you're talking about. I believe that you are doing things one at a time, because you only use two out of your 10 fingers to type.
Well, man, you don't know about inequities, man, for the world to see, right? Now, I mean, that's only the people to know, because mostly you know about my inequities of typing, man.
I've seen you one time, I said, Darnell, if you type them, you got them like pistols.
Like, yes, I know about yours, I'm like pistols, man. Y'all gotta see the video way that I pull my fingers out, man. Blow my joints like gun, like pointing. Joints come out smoking. Yeah, man, them nights was darn near red. That's when that's where it put you, but you know, a big word up in there might be problem.
Let me ask you that though, because I think that I don't know what generation it was. I think what computers kind of got hot, like when mid late 80s, mm-hmm. early 90s. Like, what was it like? What was it like whenever that technology kind of hit the stage and, you know, like what was, like, I think I was like probably what, 6, 7 years old, you know, I wasn't even really thinking about that yet. But what was it like for you as a teen?
That's crazy. The remarkable thing is, man, my 8th grade research paper was on computers, man.
Okay.
My 8th grade research paper was on computers. I still remember that. And I remember going to a library, Carnegie Mellon. They used to take a field trip to over to Carnegie Mellon. But I remember that was the beginning of the evolution of computers, man.
Okay.
And I mean, it's early 80s. But yeah, that's crazy. You know, just looking at how that has evolved in our lives. I'm thinking, you know, the 80s, going to, well, you know, you just had the big computer in certain offices, but we were still using typewriters back then and typing papers. And I'm thinking, like, you know, the Atari and ColecoVision and the games that started becoming computerized. Damn, I was a part of that movement in the 70s and 80s. But
did it have an impact on? I know it changed things, but was it I don't know if people. I know people clamoring about it, but do you think it was a benefit at the time? To the human psyche, as we're going to fast forward to 2015, where you have T9, and you know, I think some things a day with computers. If you type on your cell phone, T9 will finish the word before you do, so you don't necessarily have to know how to spell to it, because it'll do it for you.
And that's crazy, because I know I wasn't even expecting that, Sean. Again, I'm thinking that, like, when computers came in and they become so accessible like they are nowadays, I mean, we were so busy doing other things, so you know, it pretty much creeped up on us. And next thing you know, going into the late 80s and 90s, it was here where we started getting personal computers in your homes and so forth like that. But throughout the 80s, I mean, we were still using typewriters. You understand? But, wow. You know, I guess it probably popped up like that, but I'm just looking as I recollect on things. I think pretty much it was a slower transition than it is like right now. These kids, you know, growing up, you all in full blast technology. But I was a part when we were transitioning out of old things into the new technology. So that's a very interesting perspective that I haven't really given, you know, so much thought. You just pop it over. That's something I probably need to, after the show, even think about a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's so much a vital part of our lives. So it's here now.
Right,
but
right.
I was a part of that now, as you mentioned. It was a part of that. You know, it's one of the great things. I have a lady I call my grandmother. She's 92. And when she talks about, you know, she was around before the 45s, before the CDs, before 8-tracks, and this conversation, I wish I would have had her on this.
She would have been great. Oh yeah. My gosh, that's somebody in the 90s.
Yeah, 92 years of age, man. And, what she has seen, but to your point, man, I was a part of this. Going from the big computers to the laptop to the iPad. You know, I was a part. I was a part of that. That movement. When I was in school and I was in high school, we were still typing on. We were still writing papers for one, and you know, you might have typed. I mean, you was doing research papers. I wrote my research papers when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays kids are, you know, they're doing everything off a computer. But I'm trying to recall whether or not we were even typing them. You know, man.
You know, that actually goes into like one of the things that we want to address as far as education, because I know that like you talk about writing papers and everything. I remember I went to a classroom when I used to do in-home work, and the kids I was working with kept saying, I don't got no homework. I'm like, man, you gotta have some homework. Then I go to the school, and the school tells me, yeah, we don't really give homework no more because we don't have them take the books home. And I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, because the kids lose the books and it's too expensive to replace the books. Whenever they lose them. And now you're going to school. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing totally, but, you know, the kids got iPads, they got flat screen TVs, and I haven't experienced that, but, you know, I don't know from experientially if it's better or worse, but I'm thinking, wow, like, that takes away some of the, in my opinion, the creativity of sitting there and kind of, like, writing out what you're thinking, the first draft and all that. Of course, you can still do it on the computer, but there's a different experience when you type it versus, like, when you or writing. Not to say one is better or worse, but it changes the game in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like we want to do pros and cons of both. I'm thinking even when I was in grad school, I was writing out note cards.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in grad school, I'm in the library, going to pull a source out,
right,
writing on note cards.
Right, now there's an app for it. You don't need no card no more.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you cut stuff to the steeple shape.
Right.
So, you know, we and the crazy thing with all this modern, you know, technology is great, like we said, but the papers are written out are better than the scholars in the past.
Mm. That's a great question.
I mean, most of our books were written, you know, the great books were written well before technology.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Books that some of the kids are still reading nowadays,
mm-hmm,
was written when there was no technology. So now we're saying, well, these people are so outdated that they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Now, you know, technology is the way now. You know, going to the library and getting a book and reading it and taking notes is outdated. Yeah, it is outdated, but does that make us smarter?
Right. Or better.
Or better.
Right. That makes me think about, too, like, I always, actually, that's one of my conversations that I have, you know, on the toilet bowl by myself. You know,
right.
You know, it's like, does... Like, what's greater, like the invention of the original or the improvement of the original?
Mm.
Because the original was like, you know, like a car. Nobody necessarily has created a new form of transportation. You're just trying to improve the original.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
what's your thought on that?
My thought?
Put on original the first time.
I guess if I had to pick one, I guess I would say the original invention.
I would agree with you.
The original invention, because you came up with the seminal idea to create this thing, and even though you might not be there to improve it, they haven't created something to challenge it to make it go away.
Mm.
It's still here.
Mm. Mm. And we sent her pressing some popcorn, everybody. When we watched the video, I put my skills through this to do the test. You know, y'all always see us joking around. I just want to want y'all to see us munching. That's what good brothers do when we dig them when we hungry test.
It helps the mind.
It helps the mind. Might make our jargon seem unclear, but it's some good popcorn, bro. If I say it for myself. My chicken, sir. But back to, you know, more seriously, I agree that, you know, somebody would come up with something totally that wasn't thought of. To me, I make you a smarter person. I remember, I think when I might have had a conversation with my son, and he was talking about one time that, you know, technology makes me smarter. And I was like, really?
Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, the audacity to say something like
Tremaine, that's my guy, though. I don't know about that, Tremaine.
I was like, well, yeah, I can do such and such. One might have been one of the kids I was mentoring. I was like, oh, yeah. Put this thing together right here. we're building something, right? You know, dunk sign. Yeah, I mean, he went to the corner, put a dunk on it. Like, yeah, you smarter than me? Put this together.
Right.
Don't know how to use a screwdriver, didn't know how to use a wrench. But if you're smarter than me, you should be able to do the same thing I'm able to do, right?
Right.
But sometimes, people think that because they have, you know, they're nice with the computer, or able to access things quicker on the computer, that makes you smarter. It just makes you more, you know, makes things more accessible, more, you know, you can get things more expeditiously. That's all I mean. It doesn't make you more intelligent. But, you know, back to your point, which I thought was a good point, or a good lead-in, we talk about how it's getting back to, you know, how technology is, you know, and how really that almost controls our lives.
Yeah.
It impacts our life, but it also, you know, to a certain extent, it can control our life. And, I know we have several things that we want to, certain categories that we want to talk about when we talk about this, is the technology. And I'm going back to when you were saying what are some of the things I've seen in the evolution of technology in my lifetime. I'm thinking back in the day when my mom didn't buy me Atari or a PlayStation. This is back in the day, like the original video games.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because we might didn't have the money, but that's one of the things I always tell my mom. I'm so thankful that I never, you know, don't play PlayStation. I'm not knocking it whatsoever, though, but it's something that I never really got into. But why did I get into it? Because my mom didn't buy me Atari and stuff like that. We used to go to the arcades and play the regular video games and pinball.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, you know, sometimes computers stunt our intellectual growth.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of people spend so much time on technology that you really don't spend no time, you know, tapping to the intellectual or molding intellectual or growing intellectual, because there's, you know, a lot of technology, like you said, on the phone, you type two letters and it's telling you.
Right.
You know, whatever happened going to the dictionary or pronouncing that word out, I was working with my niece this weekend. I love being around her. She's 8 years old, and I was giving her some spelling words. You know what I mean? And I challenged her, you know, and I had her writing the words out, pronouncing the words. But like I said, she would have had some technology. She had to try to take a shortcut. We were out eating for my mom's birthday, so there was no phones. So I'm challenging her to tap into, you know, her intellect. You know,
and I think that's what we have to do for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because I noticed that I like to do that. I like to do that for myself. You know, even though I know cheating how to spell it out for me, like I purposely make it my own business to continue to spell the word fully through, you know, on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I think that you're right as far as technology kind of making us a little bit more like dumbing us down a little bit, but you have to make that, you know, you have to make it your own personal accountability to, you know, not let the process be debilitated too much. Because also, even though it debilitated us in some ways, it also has given us easier access to a lot more. Like I think we've talked about this on at least two or three shows, man, since, but they got libraries now, they got programs where you can go into the agency and use things. Like, there's no way, even if you're not into like the academic things, if you like comics, if you like video games, you should be a scientist at whatever it is that you love, just because there's so much information available to you. And technology has provided us with that easy access.
And we talked about it on last show, exposure.
Exactly.
Exposure. If there is anything, you can Google anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to, if you want to build a paper road, you can Google it.
Right.
So, right, as far as education,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of how easy to access at our fingertips, you know, it can expand our mind or expose our mind to so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as far as education, you know, the same way it might, you know, make you a little bit lazy on one habit, you know, also does make you a lot more intelligent due to how quickly you can be exposed to different things. And, you know, and also you can travel on this thing. You know what I mean? You can travel to different cultures on this computer.
Right.
I mean, through technology, which is priceless.
Right.
So you want to find out about somebody's lifestyle.
Right.
You know, it's right at your fingertips.
Right. Right.
So you know that it's from that perspective, man. That is awesome. You know.
And that's I think that's one of the things that I was trying to say on the last show about exposure, in the sense that I think technology, and I know you're very big on, I know that Darnell's very big on some of the things that are in place in the system to keep us down. But that right there is big to me. You can take a trip through YouTube. You know, if I want to go see how people in the islands is living, if I want to go see how people in Europe or Australia or Africa is living, you know, and at least, if nothing else, it at least gives you something to dream about, the same way that you're dreaming about becoming a rapper or XYZ. And I think that you know, that right there is why I was saying that's something that could hold you accountable. But we find all these reasons. I've never been to Philly. I've never been to Canada. I've never been to South America. But you got YouTube on your phone, but you spend time on WorldStar.
Educational. So, man, it depends on what you call educational, but WorldStar, you learn some things on there.
You will learn some things about WorldStar.
You will learn some things on WorldStar, whatever, hop.com.
And I get myself, I'm not saying nothing bad, because, I mean, we both, you know, young. I'm not fronting. I'm on WorldStar. I get myself 1 hour of unhealthy social media every week. 1 hour radio, 1 hour social media.
Okay.
No more, but no less either.
Okay. No, that's balanced though too. We can't be. You know, I got a son. I got a daughter. My daughter, she'll come visit me. She'll have me, and my daughter will have me watching that. So, I don't think it's, you know, we can't get to the point that we think that we almighty. Well, we don't have the. We can't access this. We're better than that. No, you need to. You know.
Right.
You need access to, you know, stuff that, because you need to know what you're dealing with.
Exactly.
And it just makes you a well-rounded person when you have access to certain things. Again, education.
Right, right.
Through that computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, it ain't all bad, you know. It's necessary, you know what I mean? Especially when you're dealing with, if you want to be effective with all populations, you know, you need to know what they see. You need to know how to adjust your game to be able to be effective with to them when you're trying to communicate certain situations to them.
Let's I know that you know, in a couple minutes we'll go to a commercial break, but real quick, let's start the conversation about the impact on, like, relationships, like technology and relationships. You know, I think both interpersonally and personally, and I guess one of my biggest things is that, you know, being a therapist, I think it's so funny that, you know, instead of going to a therapist now or talking to your friend or talking to your mom or your best friend, all of a sudden now Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter are your best friend. You know, I have a problem with person A. Instead of dealing with person A, I go on Facebook and say, people ain't real. Ain't nobody real. Hashtag shout out to realness. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like
my real shout out
to all my real ones. Like, but whenever technology wasn't here, it's like there was more of a incentive to, like, you had to go deal with, at least I would go deal with that person. But instead of me, you know, dealing with my emotions in that way and going to confront the person, I get impulsive and I got this nice thing in my pocket called an iPhone. And I got Facebook, so I'm going to just let everybody know. I'm exposed not only my situation, but my insecurities. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
And it's crazy thing because, you know, as we were getting ready for the show, we went on Facebook. Somebody was on Facebook. They posted, they have, you know, something about God. And then two scrolls down, they have, you know, some drugs. You know what I mean? Like, that was just oxymoron, I've ever seen one before, but, you know, when you talk about certain things that you get exposed to on Facebook, that we have behind that. You know, technology allows us to hide behind something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When sometimes when you hear, when you're on these blogs, you hear these ignorant or, you know, these racist people making these comments behind, you know, a made-up name or whatever. You understand? It allows you to add back to, you know, get back to your point of relationships. Some of us feel more comfortable sitting behind a computer to deal with relationships.
Right.
You know, it's crazy to see, you know, my niece or, you know, seeing, you know, kids out in the community. They could be in the same room with somebody and texting them. In the same room.
Same room.
Texting them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, young people, you know, they got a girlfriend. Like, how often y'all spend time? I ain't never seen her. I was like, that's your girlfriend, man. But y'all texting. Well, we text. Do we talk on the phone? Like, whatever happened to spending some time getting some real, some live voice or, you know, some face-to-face time and really getting to know somebody.
Face-to-face time. But we got FaceTime now.
Yeah, we got FaceTime.
Right. And that's, I'm sorry, Chris. And that's addicting, though, because I can look at myself and me and my wife, like, we have to at least have the conversation, like, no phones. You know what I mean? So it's me and Darnell and I are talking about this from a point like we have it all figured out, and we're monks. No disrespect to monks, you know. But me and my wife, whenever we go out, like we find ourselves, this time was meant to be intimate, and we like this, you know.
Mm.
And we're like, oh wait, no phones, no phones. Because you almost do it, like you said, almost like it controls your life if you're not conscious of it. Mm.
So in the book, crazy thing, in the book, 4-Hour Workweek, Tim Ferriss, you know, if everybody out there, if you get the opportunity to read that book, the 4-Hour Workweek, but Tim Ferriss is saying that, you know, at four, you know, when you leave work, cuts his phone off. You know what I mean? Whatever problem there is, you know what I mean? This is my time. Like, whatever problem is, it's going to take care of itself. But to your point, man, we can be at a dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I went out this weekend, you know, took my family out, my mom out for her birthday. And that's one of the things, like, you know, let's put the phones down, man. Let's enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so indicative, you know, people, you know, we so used to giving up our access, or I'm sorry, our privacy.
Right.
You know, we'll give up our privacy. And that's all, you know, when you keep that phone on 24/7 or, you know, your tablet on 24/7, your iPad, whatever. You know, that you giving up your, you know, you giving up your privacy, and you telling people it's okay for you to bother me 24 hours a day. It's okay for you to have access, and that's totally new to me. Like back in the day, you know, we were, you know, once you left the house, man, your parents or nobody had access to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, in the late '80s, beepers came around.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? And now, you know, that's kind of amazing that you have somebody have access to you all day, every day. And that the youth out here think that it's always been like that. But I'm like, you know, in the 80s when I grew up, man, people ain't had access to you, man. And there was a lot of more personal relationships that went on because, you know, you wasn't distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You sit in front of somebody, man, you get tired of, you know, every 5 minutes they're checking their phone like, damn, you know what I mean? You don't see me here? Or what are you and in this business, No, please handle your business. But a lot of times you just having general conversations or posting on Facebook. So, I mean, it's telling me that that's more important than my presence.
Right.
You know what I mean? My presence is a gift,
right?
You understand? So while you have my presence, please, you know, utilize and appreciate it.
Right.
But just that technology on that perspective is really taking out the personal connection between one another.
Man, that's excellent. I think that as we take a break here soon, I think that that's an excellent point for us to come back on it,
yep.
That, you know, how cell phones, not just cell phones, but all technology, you know, how it has invaded some of our privacy. And maybe we can touch on that whenever we come back from the commercial. So
yeah.
We'll see you back soon.
Yeah, but, and also we come back if you want to add in, you might shield a couple questions.
Yes.
If you're on the phone, you can dial *1 to let the engineer know that, you know, you're in the queue. But like Brother Sean said, we're going to go to commercial break. But we'll be back with conversations with good brothers and the impact of technology on our lives.
You've been waiting on it, and now it's here. X's, O's, and W's. Inspirational stories from successful basketball coaches. The greatest collection of basketball coaches ever in one book. Written by award-winning writer C. Nathaniel Brown. X's, O's, and W's shares motivational and wisdom topics such as faith, family, success, work ethic, teamwork, and character from championship coaches, including Hall of Famers Rick Pitino, Lute Olson, Ann Donovan, and Morgan Wooten. It's more than a sports book. It's wisdom, inspiration, and motivation. Order your copy today at www.ex3ent.com. That's www.ex3ent.com.
We have a big problem, and we need your help.
It's happening on college campuses, at bars, at parties, even in high schools.
It's happening to our sisters and our daughters,
our wives and our friends.
It's called sexual assault, and it has to stop.
We have to stop it. So listen up.
If she doesn't consent, or if she can't consent, it's rape, it's assault.
It's a crime. It's wrong.
If I saw it happening, I was taught you have to do something about it.
If I saw it happening, I speak up.
If I saw it happening, I'd never blame her. I'd help her.
Because I don't want to be a part of the problem.
I want to be a part of the solution.
We need all of you to be part of the solution. This is about respect. It's about responsibility.
It's up to all of us to put an end to sexual assault. And that starts with you.
Because one is too many.
Welcome back to the Conversations with Good Brothers Talk Show. My name is Sean Francis Coleman.
I got Darnell Ramsey. Welcome back, everyone.
And you had made a comment about the invasion of privacy, and I just wanted you to elaborate on that a little more, because even sometimes whenever you get these apps, you know, it'll ask you, like, you know, if you want to post a picture, to say, you know, can we access the rest of your phone? And I'm wondering what the unconscious results of you allowing an unknown entity to access stuff that might be private.
And there's always, you know, a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we think that they ask you questions. There's a reason why they ask you questions, and you give them permission. As soon as you buy a cell phone, you have gave them permission. As soon as you buy an iPad, you have gave them permission,
right,
to invade your privacy.
Right.
Cool. And I've always been a very private person. One of the things that I think, one of the few things that I think that you are in control of in your life is your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give that up. You know, we all have to go work for somebody at some point of our lives. So, you know, you have to pay your bills, but after that, when you leave work, you are in charge of your privacy, and who you allow to come into your privacy is your choice.
Right.
And, you know, since the evolution of technology, we have been willing to give up our privacy. Willing. You know, and the crazy thing is that, you know, people, you know, I had a conversation with a coworker, months ago, and he was talking about how, people think they are in control, and he was like, you know, they made you get a cell phone, because now if you don't have a cell phone, people looking at you like you crazy, so you're pressured to get a cell phone.
Mm.
How many people I heard don't have cell phones?
Wow.
No, I think I know like one person don't have a cell phone out here out of the hundreds of people I know.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But, you know, we don't look at that like you're inviting people into your privacy.
Wow.
Now you ain't even seeing that. And then, you know, even when you're at home, you're going on Facebook.
Wow.
I mean, telling what's going on in your life. So now people know that you're on Facebook. Like, when do you spend time with yourself, you know, to tap into yourself and to really get to know yourself? So we're so used to being inundated with things to do, and that's what technology is, whether it's PlayStation, whether it's Facebook, whether it's a cell phone, whether it's an iPod. When do you escape from yourself and really, you know, tap into your privacy?
That's deep, man, on the whole. Now, this is related, but this has sparked my mind about, you know, invasion of privacy, because unconsciously, I'm wondering, and now you got to think about it too, is that, you know, not only do we have more of an awareness and visual images, but we get to access other people's lives and see what they're doing minute by minute by minute. And now you get to compare your life, like, think about relationships. Hey, everybody else, she got a man, and she got a man, and she got a man. You know, and I'm not speaking, I don't know how women think necessarily, but, you know, I know guys, I don't know too many guys, you know, going on Facebook like, dang, he got a woman. No, it's like he got several women. You know what I mean? And think about that, again, that unconscious aspect of invading, you giving permission to invade your privacy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, what benefit does that have on your personal life?
Mm.
Who are you giving? Like, are you giving these men, like, for women,
are you giving these men constantly access or permission to invade your private parts? Your private parts.
I'm lonely tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let me scroll. Let me scroll down. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And
it's interesting how you remember I was watching one of the shows, one of the morning shows, CBS, NBC, or ABC, one of those, they were talking about how there were apps out here that would pick up keywords when people were going out of town.
Really?
That's how people would get robbed. You know, it was legal. There was nothing that they can do about it, but it was when people, I'm going to Europe for 2 weeks on July 2nd. Always to July 16th, dog. You know what I mean? On Facebook. You know what I mean? I will be in Europe. No way back to New York on these 2 weeks. I will be out of town, y'all.
So you wonder why you come back and your whole crib is straight and you have them two dudes running around like Home Alone?
Right.
They won't be back for 2 weeks.
You know, it's something, but it's real talk.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
You see people on Facebook.
That's crazy.
Hey, girl, I'm balling in Miami. Oh, really? And I won't be back until next Friday, y'all. Really. And me and the kids is out here while y'all freezing in Penn Hill at 2835 Smith Street, y'all. I'm balling like you giving people that permission.
Right.
But no, we don't even see that.
Right.
Technology.
Right. And I think some of us don't see it, but some of us do see it, but we're more concerned with promoting ourselves and being somebody who maybe we're not. And even if you are, then that's just stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, it was interesting that there was an app, like I said, would pick up key words.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was sent out, to people, and that's the scary thing. Again, these apps.
Yeah.
When you're giving people permission.
Right.
But they were saying, people were, I guess, of course, New York, these places, there was people who were professional robbers going around, robbing people's house, but how they would figure out, they were, faithful.
I remember that dude, you remember the commercial with the dude who he was promoting identity theft protection?
Mm-hmm.
He would put his number on that big truck. I don't know if this is true, y'all, but I heard that he actually became a victim of identity theft for doing that.
Oh, really?
Technology.
I know there got to be some bad people out there to do that. Back to your point, just posting stuff posting things on Facebook. And it's a great tool, on a good side, Facebook allows us to meet, to reach family members or reach old friends that we haven't had the opportunity to connect with over years, as easily. So, it's a great tool. But again, when you have these little side conversations and we all, you get into a conversation about what people post on Facebook and it's like, wow, they posted that?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You mad at your man or you mad at your girl, you post on Facebook, now you're making yourself vulnerable.
Right.
And you can't take that back.
Yeah.
I tell my son and my daughter, be careful what you post on that.
Yeah.
Again, I'm a little extreme with my privacy, so I don't want nobody to be like me. It's very weird. I won't post anything personal on Facebook. But I always tell people, once you hit send or once you hit enter, that's out there. You know what I mean? That's out there. You can't take it back. And I know there's been situations. There was Lindsay Lohan or somebody recently sent out a racist remark on Twitter and deleted it. But it's out there. The guy a couple weeks ago, the young man who posted something on Instagram, he shot somebody and posted a picture on Instagram and tried to delete it. Too late, it's out there.
Right, right.
You understand? So, we got to be very careful with this technology. Yeah, you can delete it, but, once you hit enter and once you hit send, it's out there and you got to be held accountable for whatever action that you just did or, whatever you put out there. You curse somebody out, talk bad about somebody, you send it out to Facebook, now you got to be held accountable, for that action. You got to be careful about it because now whatever issue you had with that person, like you were saying earlier, years ago, you would go straight to that person.
Right.
I got a problem with you. I'm going to talk to that person. Or you might have talked to, three or four people about that person. Now, you posted to 700 Facebook friends, and then their 700 Facebook friends.
Right.
And now you got somebody's business out there in front of, 24,000 people when it's something that should have been kept between just you and that person.
Exactly.
Or about two or three people outside of that.
One of the things I don't understand, man, is tax is gone. Tax is going. One of the things I don't understand is that, to your point right now, is just that when you post something, you're thinking about it from a personal standpoint and maybe even from a family standpoint.
You know, I see a lot of these young parents out here, and you post something like, I'm turning up, I'm drunk, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but now you post that, and if you got a kid, a son or daughter in high school, and their peers see that, now they have a segue to, you know, use that against your son or daughter at school. Look at what X, Y, and Z mom was doing. You know what I mean? Look at what she said. She's stupid. She don't know how to spell. You know what I mean? Like, this is not just a personal thing. Like, this is information that can be used against you. You creating other problems, not for yourself, but not for your kids, coworkers.
You're talking about that. Your job. You know, again, we talking about, I guess that legally, employment, you're not supposed to be discriminated, or people not able to, hire you based on your Facebook. But you don't think that happens?
They still look. They tell you.
Yeah. You don't think that happens?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you see some people, I'm on my lunch break, y'all, I'm about to have a drink. You're having a drink on your lunch break?
Right.
So you mean to tell me somewhere in that employee packet that it doesn't say, you're not allowed to drink during on hours.
Right.
But ain't a lot of my, they not my friend. That's this person you'll say, they're not my friend, but you're drinking, and not only that, do what you do.
Yeah.
But like you said, have some tact. You gonna post it? Not only that, you gonna post a picture of the drink. Now, man, you need that drink. You got a nice picture of a daiquiri.
Right,
posted
right.
up on the table.
Right.
At 12:03,
right,
and you're going back to work at 1:00,
and they got your mailbox closed.
Tax.
Well, I know one thing that we wanted to also address, and I'm very excited to address it too, is the business aspect. You know, because I think there's some great benefits for the business, because technology. You know, I always laugh when I hear Rick Ross on the jam. You're talking about he making money, from what he's talking about on his iPhone. But, I call it wake-up money. If you have a company, if you have a business where you have products and services for sale, you can get sometimes, and not sometimes, but depending on how active and, frugal your business is, you get that wake-up money. And you wake up and, oh, wow, like I got some emails, somebody bought some products. In the 80s or maybe in the 70s or, prior to that time, I don't think that it was feasible for business owners or entrepreneurs to do that type of business.
True.
From their bed.
True.
You laying there with your significant other, and you just close a business deal, with over your iPhone.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge plus. And being able, now that you mentioned that, being able to do a service across the world.
Right.
I mean, you can put my workshops on TV, and somebody can contact me from Bermuda.
Right.
So, Barbados.
Right.
They wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for, technology. So your point, that is huge in giving opportunity to have that exposure to the world. And that's one of the great things about, you said, having a business and how technology can be so beneficial to your business. Speaking of it, right here, we're using technology to talk to, you all as our supporters. We're so fortunate to have you as supporters, but we're doing this via technology,
right.
And we want to have this opportunity to talk to people in Houston,
right.
To talk to people in California, or talk to people in Florida, and throughout the United States. Even St. Thomas, we have callers calling from St. Thomas. So, we're fortunate because of technology. Like I said, now our voice, our thoughts are being heard. Throughout the world, so that's huge. And because, to your point, because of technology, we have this opportunity.
It's amazing. It's an amazing thing, man. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. One of the things as far as technology that I wanted to discuss, with some of, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I wanted to kind of go back to that whole identity piece. Like you had said something about. The young man who shot somebody and put it up on social media.
Real quick, hold that. Always want to address our calls. We're going to be kind of brief on the call because we got 15 minutes caller, but we want to make sure we get to. We have caller ending in 5558. Caller 5558. Please, welcome to the show. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Yolanda calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, welcome, Yolanda. How are you doing today?
Hey, Yolanda.
I'm doing well, thank you. Guan, brethren. I wanted to touch on a couple of things about technology and the impact of our lives. I think it's a blessing and a curse. You know, of course, it opens us up to a world of information and resources and things like that, definitely. But, you know, we have people that don't use it for good. You know, they use it for, you know, predators and the hackers and, you know, people have information to make bombs and things like that. You know, all of that information is available, as well as all the good things like, you know, rest of peace. Of course, your audience is able to sit in on your conversations and whatnot. Awesome thing. You know, one good thing for me, I tend to forget my Bible going to church, but I have it available on my phone. There's an app on my phone for that, so I have access to my scriptures and whatnot, and even able to make notes on my phone. So, you know, the impact is definitely good and bad for some, you know. But overall, for me, it's great, you know. I can do background checks. You know, there may be a guy trying to get at me, and I want to know some things about him that he's not telling me. Just run him in Google.
On the second thing, you bring it to his attention?
Definitely. I know all I want to know, good and bad.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys.
Thank you so very much for calling. Thank you. And that's some good points, you two. Thank you. We're going to take another caller. Caller, ending in 3686. Caller 3686. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes. Hi. Tanya calling from Houston, Texas. Originally from Pittsburgh. Just calling in regards to the technology, how it's affecting, you know, our lives. For one, I'm just stating in regards to the children that we have, you know, for today. It's kind of a little overwhelming right now with the children. It's like, you know, they kind of get impatient when it comes to looking for things, you know, like as far as schooling, and they, you know, whenever they're looking for something, and, you know, your writing skills, you know, if you're looking for something as far as looking to look up, like, something online, you know, if they're in a class or something like that, they kind of get impatient if the pages are kind of taking a long time to, like, load up. You know, they like.
That's a great point because it. Thank you so very much for calling in. And that's you know, we're going to touch on that a little bit later about, you know, our patience. You know what I mean? Technology also. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that, you know, one of the not so good things about technology. Like I said, we're so used to having access to information so quickly that we don't even have patience. Now you got to have an 8G. You know what I mean? I still got a 1G phone. You know what I mean? But, you know, nowadays you got to have the 8G because. You know, the 1G is played out. You know, that's a little bit extreme, but we're so used to it. I'm thinking the dial-up. Remember back in the day, you had dial-up. You know what I mean?
You modem?
Yeah, you was happy to have it. Now you got to have it, you know what I mean? You got to have access right away. But, you know, 10 years ago, we would have loved the day to go on Google, period. But nowadays, if Google don't answer our question in 2 seconds, you know what I mean? It's whacking.
You know, I wanted to address Sister Yolanda. She made an excellent statement whenever she said, she brought up the fact that, you know, technology, sometimes people use it for the bad, and it kind of sparked my mind to think that whenever something is created, I want to believe that these new inventions aren't created for, you know, to do detriment, but the human mind, just like they say money is the root of all evil, like the human mind will find, people will find, you know, how to use a water bottle in a lethal way.
I'm going to make
a bomb out of a penny in a water bottle.
Beast.
Right. I think that, you know, like she was saying, it's good, you know, and actually I would like to have more of a conversation with her because I'm starting, she's challenging my mind to think, is it technology that's good or bad, or is it really the human mind and the intentions on what they want to do with the technology?
Again, thanks for the callers. Thank you so very much. We always appreciate you calling in, especially in particular today. You know, two very good points with back to Sean. That's a great point because technology ain't do a damn thing.
Right.
It's like during your session is a bad school. School don't live.
I mean, school doesn't think so. That's a good point. Yeah. The human mind is what we do with technology,
right?
Or just, you know, technology is what it is. So, you know, you hear this man 10 minutes left, you drop a great point,
right?
You know, to the sister who called in, but you still, that's so true. And you know, it's what our mind, like I said, water was good,
right?
You know, water is good for us, right? But somebody will make that into a bomb,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, right. Damn, dude, where did you get that idea from? Right. But that's the human mind, to your point,
and they're gonna call it, and they're gonna have a name for it. Call it biological warfare. Yeah, it's
biological warfare.
Biological warfare. Hey, it don't nobody else buy no more water bottles. Like, we need this to live.
Check and Google. Nah. I mean, you can Google biological warfare. Like, Google, that's but that's interesting, you know, the mind will take anything. You know, all the things that we talked about, you know, the mind will take something and run with that. You know, I know we, you know, just on some humor, we always, good brothers like to talk, but one of the things we're talking about, technology, you know, no disrespect whatsoever, man. I remember we just thinking about, you know, we was making a comment about the Jet Beauty or Ebony back in the day. You know, you get one of those, and how we used to collect, you know, the Jet Beauties, or, you know, you look at the covers of magazines, you see, you know, I remember I'm from Jane Kennedy back in the day. You know, this is in the 70s. You know, everybody know Jane Kennedy was beautiful. But I'm thinking they put technology, you know, you might have had some makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, now you got Photoshop. And I remember, and no disrespect to the sister Whoopi Goldberg, man. No disrespect, man. But I remember one time when I seen her on The Essence, and I said, God damn. And that's before I knew about Photoshop. You know what I mean? But I was like, wow, Whoopi looking good. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm like, damn, they did that to her, and they was like, oh, dude, that's Photoshop. I'm like, I didn't know that. But, you know, to your point, nowadays, you get people appearing on magazines.
Right.
You know, we got our little girls and our little boys,
right,
trying to look like these people, but they're not even, technology has made them somebody that they're not. But, you know, we have, you know,
Engineer women.
Engineer men.
Yeah.
You know, even going to talent, you know what I mean, entertainers. They can't sing, but, you know, back in the day, these are some singing, some harmonizing people. But now, you hook them up to a computer,
right.
You know, now they, you know, they got a hit record. They can't sing worth a dag. We got people singing at this church every Saturday, I mean, every weekend, that'll blow a lot of these people who's making millions of dollars. They can, you know, they can sing way better, more instruments. They can play way better than them. However, technology, you know, help them benefit as a result, where they're not necessarily talented. They are talented, but not the most talented person in that particular field.
Right, right. No. That's deep, man. That's very deep. That's,
I mean, auto-tune, remember that?
Auto-tune,
yeah. I could have made a hit. And I can't sing worth a goddamn. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in that era, auto-tune was hot. If you just had a whooping, you put an auto-tune behind it.
Animals was making it. They had animals, like, it was out of tune, animals.
Mm-hmm.
Animals.
And making a hit out.
Yeah.
But, you know, given the fact with technology, you can have this happen where you have people who have, you know, have talent out the wazoo, because they might not have the look or whatever, you know, they wasn't given this opportunity to benefit from their talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, technology has really helped out people from that that perspective as well.
One of the other things, you know, before we start to get off the, as we start to wrap up, is that one of the last points I wanted to address is that, you know, I think technology is a great thing. And one of the things that I say in my intro of my second book, Improved Thinking, was that, you know, we always want to get the next best thing. We always want to get the improved product, but we never necessarily want to be the improved product.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to get, like you said, the iPhone, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever, but we don't necessarily want to be the improved product. And I just would like people to start to explore the idea of, as great as technology is, it can't, at least at this point, replace human authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know a robot. You can make a robot to look like me, to sound like me, but it can't do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I can connect with the higher power, with the divine mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, again, mm-hmm. I don't know if they have created a robot that can connect with a spirit. Now, you are not replaceable by any type. Now, in the workforce, they might have things that can replace your service, maybe your what you do, but you can't be replaced by you are technology. I think that as I look at a pregnant woman, in the human body, to me is the best piece of technology. It's amazing what the human body can do, mentally, emotionally,
spiritually and physically. Like that, I think the human body, man, is just hands down on top of computers, on top of TVs. I heard a quote one time that you know, said something along the lines of, you know, it's amazing what the human spirit can overcome. You could break down you can break down a computer, man, throw it out the window, you know, but the human spirit can overcome anything. And the way God made us is just like we're irreplaceable.
And sometimes, you know, to that point, man, sometimes I think that we you know, we praise technology like it's a creator, and we forget about that. So that's a good point, you know, to pretty much start wrapping things about that human spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what God put in all of us, man.
Yeah.
You understand that? And that's you know, the human spirit to have you doing things that no computers can't even put into words, or can't even understand. So, you know, that's powerful, where the human spirit will tap into that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that one of my concerns is, as far as we get too much into technology,
right,
we're trying to take away that human component, that human spirit component.
Right.
And to your point, man, we don't never want to get away from that. You know, and, you know, again, technology, and you have made the last 2 points you have made, technology not bad. Technology is all, you know, technology is, you know, its purpose, I would say, is for the most part, is all good.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's the human mind. That,
right.
You know, because there's so much on technology.
Right.
The human mind is perverted to go find the crazy stuff, the child pornography,
right,
you know, the all that sick stuff that
right,
that is conjured up in the human mind. But
right.
To your point, God put that, you know, and everything created for God, for the benefit of God. It's just a matter of how we use it. But where is your spirit, you know, and stay and keep our spirit to the forefront, to where we don't lose sight of that and how powerful that spirit is.
And don't. And I guess too, man, as we end on that, you had made a comment about the woman, you know, who's 92 years old. Like, technology has kind of pushed some generations to the to the back burner. And when I see a person with gray hair,
man,
or white hair, like, to me, like, you know, that's one of the illest people on earth, because they've seen, like, can you imagine what somebody 92 years old has seen? And we think that person is not worth going to get up. That person got more information,
man,
in that mind than any
man,
robot,
man,
on earth.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You have access to them. Not only that, you said 92 years old. Unfortunately, you know, my grandma's that I have, you know, been blessed with her in my presence. But what about her spirit that I'm tapping into?
Right.
You understand? You're talking about 92 years of experience and 92 years of experience. Your computer's only like 5 years old.
Right.
Or
in its bag.
Right, right. And technology really has only been around about 20 or 30 years. You know what I mean? So we don't know. Let's not, you know, unfortunately, there's kids out here who don't know what life was like before technology. But again, like you said, you got the opportunity for all of you all to have your mothers still out here, your grandparents out there. You know, as I always say, you know, learn to give people the roses while they can still smell them, and tap into, when you see somebody with gray hair, tap into their spirit, man, and see what's the impact of that?
Man, download that. Download information from them.
Download that.
Yeah.
You know, priceless. Priceless. But once again, your brother Sean, we want to also thank you all for your continued support. Thank you for the callers.
Yes. Thank you, callers. Very much, callers. Sister Yolanda and Tanya, loved it. Loved the question and the input.
I appreciate you too. But like I said, what I want to do is, you know, if you all have your pencils and papers, you know, I'm so excited about, you know, founding at my website. My business is DRS and Associates. My website is www.drsandassoc.com, Associates abbreviated, DRS and Associates.com. Thank you so very much for your support. Please look me up, look at my services, and hopefully I can come and serve you soon.
Yes, yes. We're going to utilize this technology, phone coaching, phone counseling, and all of that. And my website is www.perspective.com. It's been another great one, and I appreciate all of you allowing us to share moments of your life with you.
I'm coming back again because I'm excited about my website. You got www.drsandassoc.com. Thank you so very much. Please get in contact with me or Sean. Looking forward to serving you. Give thanks
and expand your perspective.